Well, I'm excited about this morning. Buckle up. It's good to see everyone here. Man, I was kind of joking around a little bit with Frankie that if we can get everyone together on the same day, we have a pretty good crowd, wouldn't we? And but it seems like a lot of folks are here this morning, so praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. I ask you to bless it. Thank you for your anointing that I already feel and sense in this place. And Lord, thank you for everything you're doing at Pauline Baptist Church. Lord, help me this morning. Help me teach this and preach this in the way that you put it on my heart and deep in my soul. And I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, all I can really say is, God knows my heart about this, and I'm not trying to impress you. I don't care about impressing you. I've given that up. I've given it up. I spent a lot of time this week just in prayer and study and looking and praying about what the Lord wants me to preach through the summer and maybe even through the rest of the year. And so Lynn can tell you, I was working on a sermon, and I got around Wednesday or Thursday, and I said, this is not it. It's kind of a cool little sermon, you know, with little points. And I just hit delete. Boom, deleted the whole thing. And then I got another one going, you know, and I kind of printed it out a little bit, looked at it, threw it up, threw it in the trash can. It's funny how that kind of thing works, you know. And then I was just praying again, and I just felt the Lord impress on my heart to let's study about Jesus. Let's study about Jesus. That's an amazing insight, isn't it? So that's what we're going to do. We're going to spend, just like we did in Hebrews, I kind of missed it a little bit with Ecclesiastes. I just didn't feel it. Couldn't keep going. But I want to study about Jesus. So we're going to take a look at the book of John, and we're going to start at the very beginning. And we're going to go line by line, and however long it takes, it's probably going to take the rest of this year, but we're going to really get into studying about Jesus. And I believe in my heart wholeheartedly that when we're finished, we're going to love Jesus even more than you love him today. You're going to know more about Jesus than you know today. And so that excites me. And I know this study is going to take us throughout the Bible, but we're going to use the book of John as our foundation. So let's turn there. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 19. John chapter 1, 1 through 19. And if you'll notice, Glenn can help me out. If you do not have a bulletin, I went ahead and went back to doing the sermon notes. I like doing that when we're doing study. Remember we did that through Hebrews? And I want to do that again. So if you need a bulletin, raise your hand. Glenn can help me out with that if you need a bulletin to take good notes. So let's be students of the Word. Let's get our pencil and pen out. And everybody ready? Say, I'm ready? All right, let's go. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 19. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all may believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. Verse 9, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Who was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have been received, grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." And verse 18, "No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." Everybody say amen. Amen. Now, the Gospel of John really is my favorite book of the Bible. I'm not sure if you're supposed to have a favorite, but this one is definitely my favorite. Studying the book of John, in my opinion, is one of the best ways to really get to know Jesus on a personal level. Now, the gospel was written by John, who was one of Jesus' disciples, and the younger brother of the other disciple named James. And this book is different than all the other four gospels. It's a little different because it contains no parables, and it really doesn't tell us anything about Jesus' birth, the baptism, the temptation, and the transfiguration of Jesus. So it is a little different. But here's why. Instead of all that, God inspired John to tell us about Jesus' relationships. And that's one of the reasons I like that, is because I'm in the relationship business. You know, for 25 years, I've been a counselor and minister, and now I'm pastoring. So it's all about relationships, and so that's important to me. Really, it's important to everyone, you know, for sure. But John didn't write the gospel to give us a lot of facts. Some of the other ones did. But John didn't give us, you know, he was not that concerned about all the facts. But he wanted us to help to know about Jesus. How do we get to know Jesus? How do we have a personal relationship with Jesus? The book of John is where it's at. The purpose of this, the Bible says the purpose of this gospel is that we may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And John 20:31, we're going to get a lot of scriptures here, so if you're taking notes, John 20:31 clears that right up. It says, "But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, that the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Now, the key word there is the verb believe. It appears over 50 times in the Bible. Actually, in this gospel, John. Now, it refers to an actively trusting Jesus. We're actively trusting him. Now, last week, we talked about the four benefits. Remember that? Last week, we talked about the four benefits of being a believer in God. I think he was joking with me because I said five. I don't know. But it's actually four. And I hope he wasn't looking for the fifth one. So last week we talked about that. This week we're going to look at how John begins his book with four things that Jesus can do for you if you believe. Everybody ready? So we got a long ways to go, so sit there, hang on with me, take good notes. The first one, if you have your sermon notes, the first one is help with any problem. Help with any problem. Number two, bring light to darkness. Bring light to darkness. Number three, give new life. Give new life. And number four, reveal what God is really like. So these are the four things that we're going to talk about this morning. Help with any problem, bring light to darkness, give new life, and reveal what God is really like. So in these scriptures this morning, let's go. The first one is help with any problem. So stay with me on this. So let's look at verse 1. John begins with an amazing statement. He says, "In the beginning was the Word." And if you'll notice, word is capitalized. There's a capital W there. And the reason for this is the Greek word translated word means logos. It means logos. It's used as a title for Jesus. Okay? Logos refers to the expression, the expressive thought, the expressive communication. I'm expressing God's word to you right now. So the Lord's flowing, hopefully flowing through me as a broken vessel and giving you the word. It's logos. Okay? There's another word that you can tie in here. It's called rhema. You've probably heard me talk about that before. Rhema means alive. It means living. So as you're reading, hearing, studying, you know, the Word of God, it has the potential to become rhema, which means alive. It shoots out, you know, from the pages and ministers to your spirit. It gets deep down in there and it changes the person. It changes the soul, the spirit. So it becomes rhema. Logos is the like Jesus communicating with us through the spoken word, whether you read it, hear it. Okay, now verse 2, John tells us that Jesus, the Word, was in the beginning. Okay, there was never a time with Jesus. There was never a time when he was not God Almighty. The beginning of time, space, and matter. He has always been God. Jesus already existed because he was God. He was more than just with God. John tells us the Word was God. John 8:58, Jesus said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Now think about that. That's very powerful. I could do a whole message on that one. But John 10:30 says this. John 10:30, this is Jesus saying, "I and the Father are one." Okay, "I and the Father are one." So Jesus is setting the ground here that he is God. In verse 3, it tells us through the eternal Jesus, all things, everybody say all things. All things were made, and without him was not anything made. Therefore, through Jesus, all the molecules and the galaxies and everything were made. And I'm building a little case here, so you'll hang with me. Everything is made. Colossians 1:17. Listen to this. "And he," talking about Jesus, "and he is before all things. And in him all things hold together." So Jesus, who is God, keeps the planets on course in their orbit around the sun. He keeps, don't let this go over your head now, listen. He keeps everything from collapsing into chaos. He is holding everything in his hands. He controls the tide, the sun, the clouds, the plants, everything. He controls all this and he has everything in his hands. My friends, listen. This is great news for us, because it means there is nothing too difficult for Jesus. There's nothing too difficult for Jesus. He can help us with every problem we have. There's no wayward child, no sickness, no financial problem. There is no emotional issue, no troubled marriage too difficult for Jesus. Can I get an amen on that one? Therefore, Jesus, who is God, can help with any problem that we have. No matter where you're at in life, Jesus can help you. Number 2, he brings light to darkness. Now, back to John chapter 4. Verse 4. Not only Jesus is the great creator God, but John also tells us in him was life. And the life was the light of men. You see, Jesus is the source of all physical and spiritual life. The word life there is zoe, which is found more than 50 times in the gospel and refers to spiritual life. Every time you see this word life, zoe, it means spiritual life. And Jesus is the only source of eternal life and also the only source of light, period. And the purpose of this light is to banish darkness. You see, light refers to the fact that Jesus enlightens, everybody look, enlightens our mind and our conscience. This light, he, the Holy Spirit, enables us to understand what is morally right. In every situation, the Holy Spirit helps guide us. This light helps expose maybe the purpose for our life. Just look at verse 5. Verse 5, it says, the light shines. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. See, as this verb shines is present tense, meaning continuous action. So the light of Jesus continually, day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, this light is shining into every corner of our being, if we allow it, in our soul, in our mind, in our will, in our emotions. It's revealing to us what is right and what is wrong. Encouraging us to don't do that. Yes, you should do this. You should give here. You should not do this. Verse 5. Verse 5 also says, and the darkness has not overcome it. You see, Satan, the prince of darkness, tries to hold unbelievers. He tries to hold them in darkness. But he cannot. He cannot overcome the divine light of Jesus. Amen? You see, when we have a problem in life, and if you're living life, you're born again or not, if you love Jesus or not, in life you're going to have what? Problems. So when we have a problem, or maybe we get tempted, or maybe you're at a point where you're trying to make a moral decision, Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light that shines in that darkness. Let me tell you guys, in the darkest days of your life, Jesus is there with you. He is always present. And he's waiting. He's waiting to comfort you. He's waiting to lead you in the right direction. And I'm telling you, this light is found in the Bible. It's found in the Word of God. Jesus said it, right? He did. Psalms 119, 130 is our memory verse for the day. Started kind of putting that back in there. Our memory verse for the week. Psalms 119, 130. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. Jesus can help you with any problem. He can bring light to darkness. And number three, he can give new life. He can give new life. All right, let's look at John. Verse 6 and 7. The Apostle John now tells us about John the Baptist, who is Jesus' cousin, right? And this John, he was not the author of this book. Sometimes people mix those up. God sent John the Baptist to prepare the way for Jesus. And he is pretty clear in verses 8 through 11, basically. We'll cover those. It says that it tells us John was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. And Jesus was the true light that gives the light to the world. Verse 10 and 11 tells us that Jesus was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. Jesus even went to his own people, and his own people did not receive him. Now, I got something strong to say here, but I believe this. Why did they not know him? Why did they not receive Jesus, even his own people? Here's what I believe the Bible teaches. Because they did not want to know him. Because they did not want to know him. If a person does not want to see the truth, they will not see it. I've seen this many times in my career as a addiction counselor, drug and alcohol counselor. Why do people today not see Jesus for who he really is? Why? They don't want to. They don't want to see Jesus. They don't want to see the truth, because then they would have to acknowledge him as Lord. Then they would have to acknowledge him as King, as the Master. Then they would have to bow. They would have to humble themselves. If they did that, then they would have to repent of their defiance. They would have to repent of their rebellion and their disobedience. That's why people don't see Jesus. That's why they didn't see him back then, and they don't see him today. John chapter 3, verse 19 says this. John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the judgment. Here it is. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. In other words, people don't want to change. And that's the bad news, but the good news is in verse 12. Verse 12 says the good news is that all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Amen. You see, the vast majority of people in Jesus' day rejected him. But some did get saved. Some did make him Lord and Savior of their life. And the same is true today, isn't it? Today is the same way. Some do get saved. Some, you know, the narrow road, right? Some do get saved. Some do give their life to Christ. Jesus explains this in verse 13. Let's look at 13. Who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of men, but of God. We talked about this last week. God draws people. He draws people into salvation. And they become born again. Guys, look, being born in a garage does not make you a car. Most of you have heard this before. Being born in an oven doesn't make you a biscuit. Right? So being born into a Christian family doesn't make you a Christian. Only those who receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, who place their faith in the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, receive the new life that we're talking about. And they become children of God. So, Jesus can help you with any problem. He can bring light to darkness. And he can give new life. And number four, and the last one, he reveals what God is really like. And I'm excited about this part as we study the whole book of John, is really getting to understand, get to know Jesus and this personal relationship, and allowing Jesus to tell us really what is God like, what is Almighty God really like. And it's going to take us a while, so you'll hang on with it. Now, we come to one of the most important verses in the Bible. This is one of the most important verses. John 1:14. Okay, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory of the Son from the Father, full of grace and full of truth." Now, it's important. It's one of the most important verses because it is the most concise statement in the Bible about the incarnation. And the incarnation means God became human being. God became a human being in the person of Jesus Christ. This is real important. Now, the word translated dwelt. Become flesh and dwelt among us. The word dwelt, you remember we talked about that in Hebrews. It means tabernacled or pitched a tent. Remember that in Hebrews? Okay. So God tabernacled. God tabernacled among us. In other words, he came to earth in a tent of flesh and blood in the person of Jesus Christ. And John 14 says, "We have seen His glory, and the glory as the Son from the Father." You see, this glory is often called the Shekinah glory, which is the Hebrew, which means the described visual presence of God in the world. The Shekinah glory. Peter, James, and John saw Jesus transfigured. And that's the best example of the Shekinah glory that we see in the Bible. Verse 17. Matthew 17:2 says this about that. "And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light." Can you imagine that? Imagine seeing that, probably feeling that, sensing that. See, that word transfigured is in the Greek word, we get our English word metamorphosis. And I know most of you probably know this, but I'm going to share it anyway. Which is this? It's used to describe the transformation between a butterfly, a caterpillar and a butterfly. And I was asking my mom about that. We were coming to church this morning and went by and picked up mom. And she was telling about one of those black worms. What was it called? Katanga? Anybody remember that? Yeah. We used to fish with them. I used to throw them on girls. Anyway, bad. I was bad. I'm sorry. We used to fish with them. They were kind of freaky, though. Anybody remember? You get them off the trees and you could fish with them. Anyway. I don't know why I'm talking about it. Anyway. Verse 14, all right, it also says Jesus is full of grace and truth. This word grace, if you look at this in the Greek, this word grace means this, and I'm just going to straight up read it. Here we go. Now listen closely to this. This word grace, says Jesus is full of grace and truth. This word grace means this: favor or kindness shown without regard to worth or merit of the one who receives it. Wow. You really think about it. That's grace. I'm going to read it again. Grace. In the Greek, it means favor or kindness shown without regard to worth or merit of the one who receives it. Isn't that beautiful? Think about it. Huh? That's Jesus gives us something we don't deserve. He gives us the forgiveness of all our sins. The gift. Jesus is full of truth. which means he reveals what God is really like. He's full of truth. He's full of mercy. He's full of grace. He's full of love. God is love. This is good news for us. In verse 15, John reminds us that John the Baptist is another witness to Jesus' deity. What is God like? Verse 16 tells us about grace upon grace, which means grace replenishing grace. In other words, the grace that Jesus offers us, the grace that Jesus is full of, can never be exhausted. Romans 5:20 talks about that. It says, "Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more." Let's get a big amen for that one, right? Now, we'll close here. I'm almost finished. John concludes this section by writing, "No one has ever seen God." John 1:18 says, "No one has ever seen God." But check out this little scripture at the end of this right here. Don't let this slide over you because it did me for a while. It says, John 1:18, "No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, He has made Him known." Wow. You see, many passages in the Bible record various people seeing representations of God. People say they've seen visions of God, they've heard God's voice, some folks have communicated with God, but no one has ever really seen the essence of God. Exodus 33:20 clears that right up. Exodus 33:20 says this, and this God said, "You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." Case closed, right? That's pretty simple. Jesus gives us a full revelation. It's in your sermon notes. Jesus gives us a full revelation of the Father because He is the original in flesh and blood. You ever think about that statement? He is the original in the flesh and blood. Colossians 1:15. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation." Remember, who is God? Who? Hebrews 1:3. I'm going to read this. I want you to open your heart and open your spirit. And I've got two more minutes here and we'll be finished. Really open your heart when I read this scripture and listen as we talk about this message. Hebrews 1:3. "He," talking about Jesus, "He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. And after making purifications for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high." Praise the Lord. So what can Jesus do for you? He can help you with any problem. He can bring light to any darkness. He can give new life. And He reveals what God is really like. This all begins when you receive Him as your Lord and Savior. And to do that, Jesus said, "Repent and believe in the gospel." Mark 1:15 says, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." The gospel, the gospel, the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your word. Thank You that You loved us so much that You sent Your only Son to die on the cross. Give us everlasting life so that we can spend eternity with You. Lord, we thank you that the Word gives us peace, joy, Lord, the peace that surpasses all understanding. Thank you for the relationship. Thank you for offering yourself. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray for one here this morning that may not be saved. They may need to give their life to you. We just pray that your will be done this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.